Let us now turn in the word of the Lord to the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Before we consider the word, let us look to the Lord now in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, we pray that thou wouldst still our hearts now around the word. We ask thee, O God, that thou wilt give us the listening ear, even as thou wouldst say to us, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And may we indeed hear what the Lord, through the Spirit, has to say to us this Sabbath day. And we pray that as the word is now before us, that the Holy Ghost will open the word to our hearts and open our hearts to receive the word. Grant us the power of the Holy Ghost that we might preach the word, and in preaching the word, preach Christ. For we ask these things in his name, giving to the Lord Jesus the praise, the honor, and all of the glory. Amen. The book of the Revelation, chapter 1. And our text for this morning is that 10th verse. Verse 10 reads, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet. The last book of the Holy Bible begins with the words, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that is, unto John. The word revelation means to uncover. It means to remove the veil. And we can see the one who removed that veil for John, so that John might see this revelation of Jesus Christ. The one who removed the veil was God. And so, believer, if we have come this Lord's Day to this place of worship with a longing to see Jesus Christ, then God must take the veil from off our eyes. The veil is anything that would hinder us having a clear view of the Savior. There's a veil of worldly pursuits. There's a veil of fleshly desires. Or there's a veil of spiritual ignorance. All these things would be a hindrance to us beholding Jesus Christ as he is revealed to us in the Word of God. And only God can take such things from our eyes that we might see Jesus only. Or, as Spurgeon put it, in that lovely communion hymn, if now with eyes defiled and dim, we see the sights, but see not him. O may his love the scales displace, and bid us see him. Bid us see him face to face. For the occasion of this revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to John, happened at a certain time, and in a certain place. For we are told In verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. There's the place. John was in the isle of Patmos. And it was at that time and in that place that John was given a revelation of Jesus Christ. For we read in verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, there's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Son of Man clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And then he goes on to describe what he saw with regard to the Lord Jesus. It ought to be, of course, our desire to see the Son of Man each time we meet on the Lord's Day for worship. This we may be sure of if we are in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. For mark the words of John. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And it was when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day that he saw the Lord. You can see there that John was aware of the fact. He was conscious of being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Are we conscious today, this morning, that we're in the Spirit on this Lord's Day? Can we with John say, I am in the Spirit on this Lord's Day? I want to look at being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and what it means. What is it to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? And what are the blessings which flow from it? First of all, regarding John, I want us to notice the vigilance that John had shown. The vigilance that was shown on the part of John. I say vigilance because we must not forget where John was. He was in the Isle of Patmos, far from friends and companions, and far from a house of worship. He was alone in exile in the Isle of Patmos. Now it would have been easy for John, under such circumstances, to have forgotten or to have neglected the observance of the Lord's Day, but he didn't. He remembered the Lord's Day, even though he was alone in the Isle of Patmos. He was vigilant. He was aware that it was the Lord's Day. And I see here that, first of all, he recognized the Lord's Day. That is, he recognized that there was one day of the week that was called the Lord's Day. He recognized that. That one day in the week was called the Lord's Day. One day that was the day for the Lord. It was a day that was sanctified. It was a sanctified day because it was to be different from every other day of the week. There is one other phrase in Scripture similar to this. And John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. So here we have the Lord's day and we have the Lord's supper. That phrase is unique. It is not used at any other time in Scripture. The Lord's day, the Lord's supper. Paul is pointing out here to the Corinthians that the Lord's supper was different from all other suppers and common meals. It was the Lord's supper. It is His supper for the remembrance of Him and bears no resemblance whatsoever to other suppers. That's why it's called the Lord's Supper. We observe the Lord's Supper once a month here in this place of worship. And it is on the Lord's day that we have the Lord's Supper. And so it is with the Lord's day. For the Christian, it is to be different from all other days of the week. As the Lord's Supper is different from every other meal that we eat, so the Lord's day is to be different from every other day of the week. It has been sanctified by God. It is the Lord's day. As the psalmist has written, Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There are those that I've heard say that every day should be the Lord's day. And I feel that they say that because they want to avoid the strict observance of one day in the week above every other day. They say that because they want to live the Lord's day as they just live every other day. But that's not what the Scriptures teach. Yes, the Lord gives us each day that we live. But the Scriptures teach clearly that there is one day of the week that is the Lord's. It is the Lord's day. This is the day that the Lord has made. So John recognized it as a sanctified day. He recognized it also as a specific day. Here John speaks about the Lord's day. He specified it as the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He did not have to explain which day of the week he was speaking about, but rather took it for granted that the church, or the churches that he would be addressing, that the churches would recognize the day he was speaking about, which day of the week he was referring to. And there can be no doubt that the Lord's day is the first day of the week. In spite of what the Seventh-day Adventists might say, the Lord's day is the Christian Sabbath, and it is the first day of the week. It was, of course, upon the first day of the week that the Lord conquered death and rose victorious over the grave, Luke 24. In verses 1 to 3, we read there it was the first day of the week. And from that time forth, the church met for worship on the first day of the week, And that became the Lord's Day. Turn, please, to John chapter 20. 20th chapter of John's Gospel. John 20 and verse 19. We might read verse 1 first of all. John 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week. Cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet day, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. First day of the week. Now go down to verse 19. Then the same day. First day of the week. The same day. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. When did they assemble? The first day of the week. They assembled on the first day of the week. And they had the door shut for fear of the Jews. It wasn't that they assembled together for fear of the Jews. No, the door was shut for fear of the Jews. The fact is, they assembled together on the first day of the week. Look again at John 20 and verse 19, or verse 26. And after 8 days, that's a week later, the following Lord's Day, again his disciples were within. There they were, assembling again. When did they assemble? On the first day of the week. The following week, first day of the week, they assembled once more. Like it had turned to Acts 20. Now these are important verses. You may meet a Seventh-day Adventist sometime. And as I often say, they only have one string to their harp. And when they harp on the one string, it gets a bit monotonous. When I was in Barrie, the Seventh-day Adventist boy came to the meeting. And he sat through the meeting, and after the service was over, that was the first thing he said. Oh, why do you meet on Sunday? You know that came from Rome. I says, I'm not interested in what Rome teaches. I'm only interested in what the Word of God teaches. And it's the Word of God that teaches me to worship on the first day of the week. We had a Seventh-day Adventist came here twice. Same thing. And that's what I told him. I told him, I says, friend, you've only got one string to your harp, and it gets a bit monotonous listening to it all the time. Oh, they don't come to hear the word. He didn't talk about the Lord, didn't talk about the scriptures. He didn't talk about the blessing perhaps he received. No, just the same old story. Same old story. Well, the Bible teaches that the church met on the first day of the week. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. It was a worship service. They broke bread, and Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. And continued his speech until midnight. It was some meeting. Preached till midnight. Like it had turned to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Concerning the collection for the saints, we just took up the collection this morning. We took up the offering. And we gave least thy trust we gave, as God hath prospered us. When was this done? When they assembled together on the first day of the week. And that is the Lord's day. And John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It was the first day of the week. He recognized it was one day in the week that was the Lord's day. Even though he was in exile, even though he was alone in that island, still recognized the Lord's day. I want you to notice something else. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day, not the Lord's morning or the Lord's afternoon or the Lord's evening. It's the Lord's day. We're to give the whole day to the Lord. From beginning to end, it's the Lord's day. Robert Murray McShane says we should rise early on the Lord's day and go to bed late, so that you have a long Lord's day. That's how he viewed the Lord's day. And he said, we might say this morning, it is a day, the whole day is the Lord's. The Romans go to their chapel and their place of worship in the morning. And that's it. In a way, following their worldly pursuits the rest of the day, Christians are to observe the Lord's day. The whole day is the Lord's. And so John recognized the Lord's day. Secondly, John remembered the Lord's day. Even though John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos, he still remembered and observed the Lord's day. This indeed is most commendable. As I said, he wasn't near a place of worship. Neither was he with other Christians. Yet he still remembered the Lord's day. The fourth commandment states, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And while alone in the Isle of Patmos, John remembered the Christian Sabbath, and John kept that Sabbath day holy. It is good when Christians are away from their own place of worship for whatever reason that they remember the Lord's day. It is good when Christians, say, are on vacation that they still remember the Lord's day. It's an encouragement to me, and I'm sure to us all, when our friends from the Free Reformed Church, while on vacation up here in this Port Hope area, make sure that they get to the house of God and they are just rejoicing that they have a place of worship that they can attend when they're on vacation here on the Lord's Day. They're just glad that they can come to this place of worship. Now, they're on vacation. They don't take a holiday from their worship. They don't take a holiday from attending the house of God. And I know some believers that do that. They go away on vacation. And they take a vacation from the Lord's day. They take a vacation from the place of worship. Oh, they say, well, I'm on holiday. It doesn't make any difference. It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day, no matter where we are. It's the Lord's day. belongs to Him. And as Christians, we are to give it to Him. And our friends come here and worship with us on the Lord's Day. It's good to see them. John remembered the Lord's Day. As I say, he was away from a recognized place of worship. He was alone. No, he wasn't on holiday, but he was in exile in the Isle of Patmos yet. His testimony is, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So he recognized the Lord's Day. He remembered the Lord's Day. And then he was ready for the Lord's Day. Are we ready for this Lord's Day? Ready for worship? If we were to translate the words of our text literally from the Greek, it would read as follows. I became in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I became in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. In other words, he did not regard himself as being in the Spirit prior to the Lord's Day. But he says, I became in the Spirit. That would speak to me of preparation. He had made sufficient preparation that when the Lord's Day dawned, he was ready for the worship of the Lord on his day. And that's why he was able to say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Believer, is this not something we should all attend to? Should we not all prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls for the worship of the Lord on his day? Need to prepare our hearts through the reading of the Word. Wonder how many read the Word this morning before we come to the Lord's house. We need to prepare ourselves by prayer. Many of us prayed this morning before coming to the Lord's house. And many of us made preparation for the Lord's day. This is why John was able to say, I was in the Spirit. I became in the Spirit. I prepared for the Lord's day. He was far from his other friends and disciples and apostles and Christians. Nevertheless, he still made preparation. Then we may ask, what is it? What does it mean to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day? What does that mean? Well, James Durham, great Bible commentator, wrote a commentary on the book of the Revelation. James Durham said this, to be in the Spirit is to exercise the habits of grace and to be in a spiritual and holy frame of mind. It's what it is to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Matthew Henry, commenting on this verse, wrote, John was in a serious, heavenly, spiritual frame under the blessed, gracious influences of the Spirit of God. And he went on to say, those who would enjoy communion with God on the Lord's Day must endeavor to abstract their thoughts and affections from flesh and fleshly things and be wholly taken up with things of a spiritual nature. It's a good definition of that phrase, being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. That's why it's called the Lord's Day. we're to be taken up with the Lord on His day. How much more would we gain from the Word if we were in the Spirit in the Lord's day? How much sweeter would our fellowship be if we were in the Spirit in the Lord's day? And how much more blessed would this first day of the week be to us if we were in the Spirit on the Lord's day? How important is that to us? Is it important that we enjoy sweet fellowship? Is it important to us that we gain something from the Word? It is important to us that this day is a blessing to our souls. You turn, please, to Isaiah. Isaiah 58. And then Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Good verse to underline. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. See the blessings in store for us when we look upon the Lord's day as a delight. And I tell you, if we're in the Spirit on the Lord's day will be a delight to our souls. So there we have the vigilance that was shown. Then you have the voice that was sounded. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. It is not surprising that being in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that John heard the voice of God. For you see, if we are not in the Spirit on the Lord's day, we will have difficulty hearing the Lord's voice. We may hear the voice of the minister, but will not hear the voice of the Lord. Need to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Consider the location of the voice. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice. John said that he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. So the voice that he heard was behind him. He had his back towards the direction of the voice. There are those that we read about in Scripture, namely in Nehemiah 9, verse 26. We read there of those who don't want to listen and hear the voice of God, so they turn their back to the Lord and to His voice. John was not being rebellious because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and therefore was ready to turn at the sound of the Master's voice. And believer, if you and I are in the Spirit on the Lord's day, you will be ready to listen to the Lord's voice. If you and I are in the Spirit on the Lord's day, we'll be ready to turn every time we hear that voice. We'll be ready to turn and ready to listen. There is blessing, you see, awaiting the one who turns at the sound of the Lord's voice. Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. The voice behind is the voice of the Lord. And there is blessing awaiting the one who turns upon hearing the voice of the Lord. And so, believer, if you hear a great voice behind you this day, then turn. Turn from lesser things. Turn from lesser thoughts. Give ear to the Lord's word. For there's blessing in store. Next we see that John listened to the voice. We not only have John and the location of the voice, but John listened to the voice. Our text tells us that he heard behind him a great voice. Now we know that he heard the voice, but did he listen to that voice? We know that he did, because we read in the next verse that the voice said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He was evidently listening because he knew what the voice said. He not only heard the voice, but he listened to the voice. He was evidently listening because he knew what the voice of the Lord said. Again, believer, if we are in the Spirit in the Lord's day, we will hear the voice and we will listen to what that voice has to say. After all, if we're in the Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth. And he will lead us into all truth. And if we're in the Spirit, if we're in the Spirit of truth, then we'll hear the truth, and we will give ear to the truth. He knew what the Lord said to him, because we read there in verse 11, verse 11 begins saying, I heard a great voice behind me as of a trumpet saying. Notice how the word came to John when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The voice of the Lord came to him powerfully. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. We see how sensitive John was to the voice of the Lord. Because when he heard the voice, it was a great voice. The word came to him with power. Believer, if we're in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the Word of God will come to us powerfully. We'll hear a great voice. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a great voice. May we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Word will come to us powerfully. And it came to John also personally. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. There was nobody else on the island but John alone. God was speaking to John alone. And John knew the Lord was speaking to him. That's how we ought to pray when we're preparing for the Lord's day, when we're preparing to being in the Spirit on the Lord's day, we need to pray. Lord, speak to me powerfully. Lord, speak to me personally. My, whenever the preacher preaches a word, it's easy for us to say, oh, that's a good word for so-and-so. That's a good word for that man over there or that woman over there. But we should be praying and saying, rather, that was a good word for me. It may have rebuked me, but it was a good word for me. If we are in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that's how we will view the Lord's word. It will come to us powerfully. It will come to us personally. It will come to us practically. As John listened to the voice which spake with him, he learned about what the Lord wanted him to do. For verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. This is what I'm telling you to do, John. This is what I'm telling you to do. It was a practical message that John heard that day. You know, it's necessary for us to listen to the word of the Lord. Because it is only by listening to the word of the Lord that we learn what God would have us to do and how God would have us to live. Look at James, the epistle of James. James chapter 1, verse 19. James 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, mark the words, let every man be swift to hear. Be ready to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Look at verse 21. And receive, halfway down the verse, and receive with meekness. You might join those verses together. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There's the importance of giving ear and listening to the word. It's practical. So we have considered then the location of the voice. Then we have John learning from the voice. John being in the Spirit in the Lord's day and hearing the voice of the Lord, the apostle learned much. John learned a great deal about the Lord that day. For he heard the voice behind them saying, I am Alpha and Omega, first and the last. He learned about the Lord. Dear Christian, is that not what we have in our hearts today, a desire to learn about the Lord? To hear about the Lord, to learn more about him. John learned more about the Lord. when he was exiled in the Isle of Patmos, when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He learned so much that day because, first of all, he was interested in the Word of God. We'll listen to the preaching of the Word if we're interested in the Word of God. We know that John was interested in the Word of God because that's why he was in the Isle of Patmos. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the Word of God. That's why he was there. He was interested in the Word of the Lord. He preached it, he defended it, and he would die for it. And now he hears the voice behind him on the Lord's day, and he turns. That's how he responded. He turned, because he's interested in the Word. When we come to the Lord's house, we come in the Spirit, I tell you, we'll have an interest in the Word. He was interested in the Word. He was instructed by the Word. John was instructed what he must do. He was taught by the Lord. He was taught about the Lord. Verses 18 and 19. Would that not be a useful exercise for us? After the morning worship, when we go home, to ask ourselves, what did I learn today from the Word? Would that not be a useful exercise to ask one another as we sit round the lunch table? What did you learn today? What did the preacher say today about the Lord? What did you learn about the Lord today? Well, John could say what he learned because he wrote it down. I don't mind people taking notes. It's a good sign. You can take down the notes and then read over them when you go home. That's what John did. What he heard, what he was told, what he learned, he wrote it down. He was instructed. As they say, it's a good exercise to ask ourselves or others, what did we learn today? And very quickly, you have there the vision that was seen. Here now are some of the rewards of being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You have in verses 12 and 13, the turning of John. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. I turned. When John turned, he saw Christ. We read about Moses in Exodus chapter 3. In the backside of the desert. And the bush began to burn. And we are told, I turned to see this great sight. And when he turned, what did he see? Saw a bush burning that wasn't consumed, but he saw God that day. And he heard the Lord speaking to him out of the bush. And resurrection morning, Mary Magdalene stood at the open sepulchre. She heard a voice behind her. And she turned. And she saw the Lord. Let us turn when we hear the voice of God. Turn from foolish and fleshly thoughts. Turn from those things that may at times distract us. Not let them distract us. But turn and we'll see the Lord. As John saw the Lord. I saw him. Verse 17. The turning of John, the terror of John. Verse 17,
And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He was in the right place, wasn't he? Down at the feet of Jesus. If we're in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that's where we'll be. We'll be at the feet of Jesus. Like Mary, leaving her sister Martha to spend time at the feet of Jesus. See, the turning of John, the terror of John, and the touch upon John. For verse 17, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Is that not what we need? Is that not what we all need? We need a touch. We need a touch from the Lord. Cold in heart, we need a touch from the Lord. We're indifferent to the word, we need a touch from the Lord. We come to God's house and we're not really in the Spirit, we need a touch from the Lord. We need a touch from the Lord. That's what we need. Oh, that we might prepare coming to the Lord's house. Oh, that we would come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day in the Spirit. That we can say with John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving and gracious God, we thank thee for the instruction, teaching of thy word. Bless thee, our God and Father, that when we come to the Lord's house in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, then, Lord, the rewards are many. There's blessing for our soul. We praise thee, O God and Father, when we come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, and we're in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Then we'll go from the Lord's house, blessed in our souls. For then we'll turn and we'll see the Lord. We'll feast our eyes upon him. We'll see him who is altogether lovely. Thank thee, Lord, for a view of our Savior today. Lord, write the word upon our hearts. And our gracious Lord, may we receive instruction. Know how to live for thee. Be with us as we part the one from the other. Take us, Lord, to our homes in safety. Return us tonight in the Spirit on the Lord's day to meet with Christ. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.